Amen. Praise the Lord for that message as well and song. What a tremendous blessing that was. What a blessing it is to just, when you come through the doors of this church, just to sense the presence of God in this place. And then to be able to sing praises unto His name and then to be ministered to through song and then through the preaching of the Word of God. Praise the Lord for God's design for church. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you look with me to the book of Psalms in chapter 91. Psalms. I love the book of Psalms, and whenever the Lord directs me to preach out of this book of Psalms, it's always a blessing. It was Israel's songbook. It's songs of messages for life, and they were to sing these messages for life and be reminded of these messages that God had for them, especially as they went through the wilderness and going to the promised land, the will of God for their lives. It's very important that they continue to have these messages on their hearts and in their minds. And so they would sing these psalms. And so it's now we have them. It's the recorded, preserved Word of God for us. And there's messages that we need to be mindful of here in the book of Psalms, especially chapter 91, where that's what we'll be reading this morning, verses 1 down to verse 6. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. Psalms 91, verse 1 down to verse 6. The Bible says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before You this morning again, what a blessing it's been already just being in church. Thank You for all that have come. And God, I just pray now that as we bow before You and have a desire to hear a message from Your Word, I just pray that You'd give each one of us that ear to hear exactly what You have for us individually and for us collectively as a church body. I ask, God, that You would use me once again as an instrument in Your hand to bring forth Your message to Your people from Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to preach a message to you based on these first six verses of Psalms 91 that I've titled, Dwelling in God's Shadow. Dwelling in God, because chapter 91, verse 1, that's what the psalmist is saying there. He says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And so dwelling in God, the Almighty God's shadow. And the first thing that we want to look at in this message, according to the first six verses here, is what and where is it? Where is God's shadow? What is God's shadow? This morning, I think that all of us would want to dwell in the shadow of God if we knew exactly what it was and where to find it. And so the psalmist here presents this. The first thing that we look at is, he says, "He that dwelleth," and didn't say the shadow, but he reveals the shadow being the secret place of the Most High. The secret place of the Most High. In Psalms in chapter 25 and verse 14, now I might go too fast for you. Write these verses down, go back and study them later. But in Psalms chapter 25 and verse 14 says this, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him." It's a secret place of God's. And the Bible says in another place here in Psalms 25, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant." And so this secret place of God, we find that, first of all, it's those that acknowledge who God is, those that acknowledge that He is an almighty sovereign God, and they have a reverential understanding and fear of who God is. And the book of Proverbs in chapter 3, the Proverbs chapter 3, let me read that to you. Right after the book of Psalms, we have the book of Proverbs. And in Proverbs chapter 3, in verse 32, it says this. For the froward is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. And so he says his secret, or this secret place of God, would be to those that fear the Lord, that reverence him. In order to reverence God, you have to know who he is and believe that he is who he is. And then you have this righteousness. You have this understanding of what is right and wrong and what God's will is for our lives. And so to break it down, it would be this. It is a life of communion with God. This dwelling in God's shadow is a life of communion with God, living in close fellowship. Living in close fellowship, communion with God, communicating with God, and then living in close fellowship with Him. The closer you get to someone, the more you know about their secrets. Or their secrets being that which is not common to other people. That which not everybody might know about a certain individual. I know that my wife and I have been married for 35 years, and the church honored us last week. It was our anniversary last Sunday. And praise the Lord, thank you, church, for honoring us the way you did. And it was such a blessing for us to be honored. But when you live with somebody for 35 years, we find this both ways. I start completing her sentences, and she starts completing my sentences. Matter of fact, when she speaks to the ladies, a lot of times she'll find that she says the very same things that I say, and she uses the very same phrases that I use. And it's not uncommon to, after a ladies' meeting, we'll come on a Wednesday night or Sunday night, and some of the very same things are being said. And the women are saying, now, did you guys coordinate that together? Is that why you're doing? And it's not that. It's just that being married to somebody for 35 years, you know them so well that you know what they're thinking. And so you know some of the secret things about each. Do you want me to tell you some of the secret things about my wife? I better not do that. I have to go home with her this afternoon. But I guarantee you, I know some things about her, and what's even scarier than that is she knows some things about me that is not common to most people, that you don't understand, that you don't see in me as a pastor. But when you live with somebody, you start understanding some of the things that might be hidden to most people that are not as common. Can I tell you, that's exactly what the psalmist is referring to when it talks about the secret place of God. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. And I love that because he says dwelleth. It's where we live. It's where I spend most of my, well, most people spend most of their time at home. We sleep at our house, you know, for the most part. You know, we leave, we get up, we leave, we're gone until we come home. We come home just in time to go sleep. That's pretty much our lives. But home is a dwelling place. Spending that time communicating with God, walking with God, it's where I live. If I truly live there, God has, or He will, place me under His shadow. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Shall abide. That's where he's going to stay. That's where he's going to spend most of his time. And God, he's stating a fact for us in chapter 1. If you dwell with God, if that's where you live, if you're communicating with God, your fellowship with God, he is who you look to. That's your life. That's who I am. Who you are is not your occupation. That's what you do. But if you're saved, who you are is you're a child of God's. You're a Christian, somebody that ought to have a desire to be Christ-like. And if you're Christ-like, you have a desire to know what Christ was about, and you want to follow in His footsteps, and you want to communicate with Him. And as you communicate with Him, you want to dwell within His presence. And so when you dwell in His presence, He places you in His shadow. Shadow. Inseparable companion. When you shadow someone, it is to follow and watch closely. Most children shadow their parents. They see, they know some secret things. You want to find out about mom and dad, talk to their kids. And they don't understand that not everybody's supposed to know that. They'll tell you some things that should have been kept secret. But because they're shadowing mom and dad, they know some things about mom and dad, and they're not old enough many times to keep it to themselves. Inseparable companion. We can abide there. We can abide there. Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 7, He says, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in ye, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you." That's dwelling in God's shadow, is abiding there, is being in the shadow of God and having God to look to and be directed by and having been protected by all the different things. It is dwelling in God's shadow. What a blessing when we understand it. What is our part? What do I have to do, preacher, to dwell there? Verse 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, and in Him will I trust. Our part, I will. He will not force you to go there. No one else can put you there. If you're going to dwell in God's shadow, it's going to come by way of a free will. It's going to come by way of a personal choice. Can I tell you, it is the most important decision in this life. Salvation does not put you in His shadow. Salvation gives you eternal life. Salvation gives you an invitation to dwell in His shadow. There's many that have been saved that are miserable today because you're not dwelling in God's shadow. Can I tell you, the most miserable person in this world is not the lost man. He's dwelling in this world and he is looking to accomplish whatever he wants to accomplish in this world. His focus is on this world. His rewards are in this world. His joy is in this world. His desires are found in this world. All the different things. But one day he's going to die and go to a devil's hell. He's not the most miserable person. The most miserable person in this world is a saved individual who has an invitation to dwell within God's shadows, who is still looking to dwell in the shadows of the world, still looking to follow after the desires of the flesh. Because now that you're God's child, you can't do that without judgment and chastisement. So we must choose. It's not automatic. When I'm facing life's decisions, if I'm dwelling in God's shadows, I understand He's my refuge. He's my fortress. He's my God. And I understand who He is. And He is all-knowing. He is omniscient. He is omnipotent. He is sovereign. He is eternal. And I have Him to look to. And I'm facing life's decisions. And when you're dwelling in God's shadow, when you're facing life's decisions, you'll make the right decision. When you're facing the trials and the troubles and the storms of this life, when you're dwelling in God's shadows, you have your God that you have chosen to look to. And when you're in these trials and you're in these predicaments of life, you have God to look to because you're in His shadow. And when you're looking to Him, there is no greater comfort. There is no greater peace. There is no greater help that can be found anywhere else outside of God's shadow. If you're dwelling there, that's where you'll look. And when you're looking there, you'll find what you need. Grace to help in our time of need. When you're dwelling there, when you're faced with the temptations of life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, if you're not dwelling in God's shadows, can I tell you, those temptations will be more than you're able to handle. And you'll give in to those. And those temptations are not only there to try to destroy your life, they're there to destroy your marriage, they're there to destroy your home, they're there to destroy your society. But when you're facing those temptations that appeal to the flesh, appeal to the eyes, and you're dwelling in God's shadows, you have God to look to, and you realize in comparison to the blessings of God, to what this temptation offers, this temporal pleasure, when you're looking to God, you're able to make the right decision and to turn away from those temptations that are designed to destroy your life. If you're dwelling in God's shadow. And it's a choice. We know what it is. It's the secret things of God. Something that the world cannot know about God. Something that even a believer will not know unless they dwell with close to Him. But when you're communicating with Him, and it's where you live, and you choose Him to be your refuge, your fortress, and your God, you have what you have need of. I choose to communicate with God and not let Him out of my sight. That's dwelling in His shadow. Wherever God is, that's where I'm going to be. That's what a shadow does. I'm dwelling there. Have you ever had somebody shadow you? Sometimes you think, get away. No, I'm not leaving. I want to know how you do things. I want to follow you. I want to learn from you. I know that on a mission trip, I remember being in Bolivia. And we went into the bushes of Bolivia. I mean, it was the back areas. We went back into where very few white men have ever gone. And back into in the bushes of Bolivia, Brother Bud Rader, one of our missionaries, he took me out there. He has a plane. He flies over all these jungles, and he flies over and he spots villages. And he takes pictures of it. He goes back and he designs a map to get back to that village so he can take the gospel to these villages in the jungles and the bushes of Bolivia. Well, I went down there for 2 weeks. I was with him going into the jungles and the bushes of Bolivia. And, of course, I don't speak Spanish. And so everyone around saying, no comprende. I learned a few. Usted habla español, señorita, señor. You know, no hablo español. No, not me. I don't do it. But I'm shadowing somebody. Wherever Brother Bud went, I shadowed him. Because somebody come up and do that. Right here. We sit down and people would bring, they're always wanting to feed you something, amen? And they bring you some of the stuff I'm looking at. And before I would eat, I'd look over to him and say, And I would watch him. He said, it's all right, go ahead, you know? They bring you water, bring you something to drink. Because, I mean, we had a couple of guys get deathly sick over just drinking some of the water. And you realize you don't drink the water. Amen? You just don't do that. But he was there. And everywhere he went in the jungles. And in the jungles, we were traveling back. I mean, there's all kind of scary things out there. At night, we were camping out. There are vampire bats all over. Amen? And there's mountain lions in those areas. And there's rattlesnakes. And the one camp that we went to... one of the guys that he had been there before and established a church there, the deacons had died because he had been bitten by a rattlesnake and didn't have any kind of help for that, not any antidote for that. Another tribe, they had been vinchuga bugs, which if you get bit by a vinchuga bug, they have a disease called Chagas, which destroys the heart. It takes about 5 to 10 years, but it's a death sentence. There's no cure for it. I was bitten by a vinchuga bug on that trip as well, in the blackness of dark, and sitting there and laying there saying, Lord, you know, I'm here because I'm just serving you. Not knowing if that vinchuga bug had Chagas or not. I learned. I want to dwell in God's shadows. While I was there, I wanted to dwell in Bud Rader's shadows. I wasn't getting away from him. But I learned much more than I learned to, no matter what, you want to dwell in God's shadows. It's our part. We get to choose. Salvation gives you an invitation to dwell within God's shadows. What God will do for us when you're dwelling in His shadows. Look, if you will, verse 3 and 4. Surely, He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. What will God do for those that dwell within His shadow? He delivers them from the traps, deceptions, and dangers of this life. And His truth shall be thy shield. The shield from the fiery darts of Satan. The shield from the snares, the traps that he sets for us, the temptations that come our way that look so appealing, but that will only draw us away from God. And it's a trap to destroy our spiritual walk with God. Satan does not want you dwelling in God's shadows. He does not want you being a testimony to this world. And he's going to do everything he can to try to draw you away from dwelling in God's shadow. But if you're dwelling in God's shadow and you have chosen to be there and you look to God, He will deliver you from these things. He'll deliver you from the temptation. He'll deliver you from the snares. He'll deliver you from deception. How am I delivered from deception? By the very Word of God. We'll know His truths. And the Bible is the truths of God. And when you know the truths of God, you understand I don't have to be deceived by humanity telling me where we came from. Because God has revealed where we came from. In the Word of God, it tells us everything we have need to know about the past. It tells us everything we have need to know about today, about this present day world, and everything we need to know about the future. And if you're not looking to the Word of God, then you'll be deceived into thinking something different about where you came from and where you're at and what's ahead of you. Amen. And so we have to dwell within God's presence, and we dwell within His shadow, and we look to Him. The Bible says He will deliver us. We'll know the truth. Someone has once said, He is an invisible protection from invisible dangers. Look out here this morning. I don't know who all is dwelling in God's shadows. I guarantee you, there's a great crowd right here that you're dwelling in God's shadow. I can't see it. But I can't see the dangers either. It's an invisible protection against an invisible danger. I know it's there. I know it's there. One of the reasons I know that you're dwelling within God's shadows is your desire to be in church on Sunday. Because that's part of the secret place of God. Wanting to communicate with Him. And choosing. Was anybody forced? No, except for the kid. Anybody forced to be here today? You chose to come today. Praise the Lord for that. What is that? What does that mean? That means that I chose to acknowledge that God has given me a commandment not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together. He has given me a commandment to support a church that He has established, to be a part of a local New Testament church, to come to worship Him, to come to understand about the Word of God through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. Listen to me. That is what you have to do in order to be in the shadows of God. If you're saved, if you're not saved, you don't have that. You can't get there. You can be religious, and you can be in sit in the pew, but if you're not saved, you don't have an invitation to come to the secret places of God. But if you're saved, you've been given an invitation. God's saying, come get close to me.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
It's somewhat like the holies of holies of the Old Testament tabernacle. Come get close to me. If you do that, then I'll do this. Praise the Lord for what God will do. He is an invisible protection from an invisible danger. And then lastly this morning, if you look back there with me, verse 5 and 6, what we can expect. What we can expect. Thou shalt not be afraid. Can I tell you, fear hinders so many people. And fear is used by Satan to destroy, to keep people from accomplishing what God would have them to accomplish. He uses the imagination of the mind to exaggerate just about everything that will bring into your life fear. Outside of dwelling in God's shadows, He'll get the victory in your life through fear. For God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind. What can we expect? Thou shalt not be afraid. Though terror by night, terror, that idea of just terror, never knowing where or when something's going to pop up, where or when something's going to happen that's going to destroy life or change life as you know it. Death, cancer, divorce, terror, Satan will use it. Or arrow by day. The battles that we fight every day. Pestilence or destruction. Whether it's known. Whether you can see it. Or whether it's unknown. That fear. There's something about dwelling in God's shadows. Some that you know that not only is He a God of today, He's always been the God of the past. He's a God of today. He's a God of tomorrow. God can see into your past. He knows where you came from. He knows what's going on, what went on in your life. Go back as far as you want. He was there. He knows you better than you know yourself today. He knows where you're at right now. He knows where He wants to lead you tomorrow. Can I tell you, it is God's will for every man, woman, and child to dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. One last verse, turn there with me, Matthew chapter 23, and we'll close. Matthew chapter 23. It's God's will, but not all will choose it. You have a choice, first of all, to get an invitation. What you do with Jesus Christ. Have you received Him as your Savior or not? If you receive Jesus as your Savior, you don't understand that God is real. You understand that Jesus is real, and you've asked Him to come into your heart and to save you from your sin. Praise the Lord for that. With salvation brings to you an invitation to dwell within His shadow. You have to choose that even as a saved person. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37, Jesus addressing Jerusalem, the people of God. He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. In the dwelling in the God's shadow, under her wings. And ye would not. Dwelling in God's shadow. I trust you understand what it is. What it takes, what it's going to take for you to get there. And the blessings that are associated with it. The bottom line this morning, you choose. You choose. Dwelling in God's shadow is a choice. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. What's your choice this morning? You will make one. By doing nothing, you made a choice. If you're here this morning and you don't know if your eyes were to close in death where you'd spend your eternal life, listen to me. God loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. The message of the song this morning was all about that grace. God wants you to be saved. He wants to give you everlasting eternal life. If you have never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you need to come this morning. Take advantage of this opportunity. Let somebody take a Bible and show you what the Bible says, what God said we must do to be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All you have to come believing and receiving the free gift of everlasting life. Once you have received that gift of salvation, you have an invitation now to dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. Christian, have you chose that? If you haven't been choosing that, choose it today. Begin today to dwell in the shadows of God. Father, we love You. Thank You for the truth of Your Word, for this psalm, for God, how You've met with us, for speaking to us today. I pray right now, God, as we give the invitation, I believe, Lord God, I have presented exactly what You wanted me to. You knew who was going to be here. You know what's going on in their lives. Oh, Father, I pray that right now that You would speak to them. They'd be willing to make that choice, that personal choice themselves. Work in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.